Welcome to Kansas Ag Report. I'm Ken Rogers. On the show today, the chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, Brett Morris, stops by. Also, we'll talk with Dan Hallstrom, the new CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. We'll also get an update from the Kansas Soybean Board and Kansas Department of Agriculture, plus our weekly updates from the Kansas Livestock Association and Paragon Ag Advisors. Stay with us. We'll have more coming up.
Closed captioning brought to you by
The Soybean Checkoff. Progress powered by Kansas farmers. KansasSoybeans.org.
Farm Bureau, a grassroots ag organization representing the state's farmers and ranchers since 1919. KFB.org.
Kansas Weed Commission, leaders in the adoption of profitable innovations for wheat. Online at kswheat.com.
Kansas Livestock Association, supporting our members' business interests to meet consumers' demands. KLA.org.
I spent a few moments now talking with Brett Morris, who is the chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. He's a rancher from Oklahoma. And boy, exciting news here a few months ago, the announcement of the relaunch of Beef, It's What's for Dinner.
That's right. We launched it October 9th. What it's going to be is we're going to revisit Beef, It's What's for Dinner. That's going to be a series of six videos that the consumers can go look at. It's open for producers, anybody wants to look at it. But what it is, it's actually a reconnect of the consumer back to the ranch, kind of an example of what happens from pasture to plate for our beef products.
Well, it's one of those that was so successful before, and everybody talked about it, but really it's not just a rehash of what it was. It's taking what some of those successful pieces and getting it into today's modern technologies.
Yes, that's correct. That's what the videos will, you will see visually on those videos. I actually saw the video about 6 weeks ago. And being a producer, seeing that video, it actually gave me chill bumps, making me so proud of, you know, that's what I am and that's what we're here for and that's the way we do it. So it's a very good connect tool to get to the consumer with.
Talk about those meetings and when that came up of, hey, how about this old idea that worked before? Should we try that? How did that kind of come?
Well, that actually came before the operating committee. This is one of our contractors had that idea, so I couldn't be specific as to how that idea came up. But it went through the operating committee, and it was one that was approved, and so that's where part of our money is going this year.
All right, so folks can see that. And really, that connection is trying to get those millennials, those moms, those that want to have not only a good feeling, those of us in the agriculture side, but also kind of build up, because I think everybody, you know, when they hear that music, that's what it's always been accustomed to.
Yep. You know, as I've traveled around the country, I try to explain the role that I play in certain audiences that I'm in, and they don't quite get it, and I'm like, do you remember the Beef, It's What's for Dinner? And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, that's where we came from. We came from that Beef, It's What's for Dinner. So it's something that resonates already with the consumer, so we feel like once they see that, they're going to visit that website and get better educated. Also, you can see it on Facebook at hashtag Rethink the Ranch.
Okay. Rethink the Ranch. Okay. What else is going on with the Cattlemen's Beef Board?
We just finished up our operating committee. There was about $10 million spent in promotion. A large portion of the $8.9 million is going to go into research for different products. Another big area that it's going to is foreign marketing. There was $7.4 million that's going to be spent in foreign marketing, and those dollars going into foreign marketing can also be leveraged by USDA government dollars through their MAPS program and their foreign development market development program. So all the money that we can get through the checkoff through there, we're going to have match funds coming in from those two programs.
All right. Well, appreciate the update. Thanks a lot. Good news. And look forward to watching those videos. Thanks.
There we go. Yes, thank you.
Brett Morris, chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, has joined us. Stay tuned. We'll have more coming up.
This segment brought to you by Kansas Livestock Association, supporting our members' business interests to meet consumers' demands. KLA.org. Oldie Seed Farms, carrying soil-specific seed. Find them on the web at oldieseed.com. That's OldieSeed.com. Grass and Grain, online or in the mail. Keeping Kansas farmers informed for over 60 years. GrassandGrain.com. Kansas Weed Commission, leaders in the adoption of profitable innovations for wheat. Online at kswheat.com.
Imagine having someone help you pick the best corn hybrids for every field on your farm. Your Oldie representative can combine your data with his data to offer a field-by-field prescription. Contact Oldie Seed today at 877-692-4555.
All over the country, more and more communities are making the change to biodiesel made from U.S. soybean oil. And the decision continues, improving the health and welfare for millions of Americans while adding billions to our national economy.
What does a brighter, more sustainable future look like in our cities and towns, and how do we get there? When New York needed an alternative fuel source to reduce carbon emissions, the city found what it needed in biodiesel made from U.S. soybean oil.
The producer-funded Kansas Wheat Innovation Center was built to get improved varieties into the hands of farmers faster. Kansas Wheat, farmers advancing their future through wheat genetics research.
Well, we're joined now by Dan Hallstrom, the new CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, boy, you've been busy already.
Yes, we have.
What a year.
The year is shaping up to be a good one. We're seeing dramatic growth around the world. We're up about 9% right now, but we're looking forward to possibly a record year after we get the last quarter in this fall. So driven by some of the main markets, Japan, Korea, Mexico. So it's a good thing.
Asia will be probably, if you look in 2017, Asia will be really at the top of the list.
Top of the list. And we're taking, and it's a good thing at the moment, we're taking a lot of share from the competitors, specifically Australia. But one thing we got to be aware of is that Australia is going to have more supply next year, and they still have an advantage on duties. So we're going to have a bit of a headwind going into 2018.
Is that the biggest challenge right now, the uncertainty in trade?
Well, I think Japan is one challenge with the difference in the duty and the supply situation. The other challenge is things are going pretty well with Mexico and Canada and the NAFTA, so the NAFTA renegotiation would be another, I don't know if challenge is the right word, but a concern, because we're at zero duty today and we want to protect what we have going forward.
As we look at the big picture, and one that we talk to folks at the USMEF, you know, sometimes we look at what we see in our meat counter and we think that's what goes overseas. Really, the overseas markets are things that maybe U.S. consumers aren't so favorable. It's a big market for U.S.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a good point. Of course, a lot of the items we use here, we do export as well, mm-hmm. like chuck rolls, for example, and middle meats. But you're right. The beef variety meats are a good example. You know, a huge percentage of beef lips go to Mexico. A huge percentage of beef tongues go to Japan. And, you know, a new market like Peru is huge with beef tripe. So this is all, you know, putting the right product in the right place with their culinary demands to maximize value. And part of the reason you're getting $1.50 a pound on tripe is because of markets like Peru. And we're getting close to $4.50 a pound on tongues to Japan. I guarantee you on the tongues, if they were all going to the U.S., you'd be somewhere under a dollar. So that's $14 a head margin advantage going to Japan with tongues. So this is about a value opportunity.
Are there new and emerging markets out there that we're not quite hearing from yet?
Well, I think it's not so new, but it's emerging, is South America, Central America. But a newer market that not many people are talking about yet is Africa. And we are starting to see some low-level beef variety meat, when I say low-level, beef variety meat business going on into Ivory Coast and South Africa. And we're seeing a little really high-end business going into some of the restaurant trade as well. But it's just the start. It's the tip of the iceberg. So I look forward to good things in the future from Africa.
Dan Hallstrom, who is the CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, is joining us. We'll take a break and be back with more in just a moment.
This segment brought to you by Farm Bureau, a grassroots ag organization representing the state's farmers and ranchers since 1919. KFB.org. Oldie Seed Farms, carrying soil-specific seed. Find them on the web at oldieseed.com. That's OldieSeed.com. Grass and Grain, online or in the mail. Keeping Kansas farmers informed for over 60 years.
grassandgrain.com.
Kansas Wheat Commission, leaders in the adoption of profitable innovations for wheat. Online at kswheat.com.
We're talking with Dan Hallstrom, the CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, and we talked a little bit about beef and the story there, but really another story that's been pretty good is pork in the U.S. going across.
Yeah, we're year-to-date, we're up about 8% through September, and that's coming off a record year last year. So, things are going well on pork, especially into some of the Latin American countries. Mexico is setting records on top of a record last year. And we're seeing Central and South America is really booming as well. The volume going down to Colombia, for example, is virtually double from what it was a year ago. So there's a lot of demand for our high-quality pork, especially into the further processing segment.
Is that really what's helping move so much pork is the quality from the U.S.?
I think without a doubt it's the volume availability combined with our reputation and quality without a doubt is helping to improve the demand flow. And these developing markets, Central America is another region, has a lot of smaller developing markets, but when you add them all up, it's quite substantial. And and we're starting to see a penetration a little bit into the retail sector as well, which is that's progress, because it traditionally has been strictly further processing. So we're starting to see advancements into all sectors on pork. So it's been a good year.
Okay, let's look at the overall picture. Where are we with Europe and getting more U.S. product there?
Europe's been a little bit slow. Mm. Still a lot of competition from European supplier. Our biggest competitor globally is probably Europe in the global marketplace. But although their supplies have contracted a little bit and prices are up a bit, but still they're a very, very big competitor.
Okay. What else folks need to know about what you all are doing? I mean, you're all over the world, helping move beef, pork, lamb, and other things. There's a lot of challenges over the world.
A lot of challenges, but you know what? The biggest thing, we've got 18 offices around the world, over 70 employees outside the U.S., and their biggest role is education, telling our story. Telling our story in terms of production practices, food safety practices, merchandising opportunities, and ultimately our high quality safe products. So what we hear about and see is the success of all that work, but there's a lot of work behind the scenes that goes on, and we're doing it every day on behalf of the U.S. beef and pork producer.
Well, again, congratulations. You've been on the job now a few months, but you've been with USMEF for a long time, so I'm sure folks have seen you around. Keep up the good work, and thanks for moving.
Thank you so much.
All right, Dan Hallstrom, who is the CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, has joined us. We'll have more coming up.
What if U.S. soybean meal were more than a commodity? If seed companies and the soybean checkoff built a better variety? That future is here. The time is now. To meet end-user demands, the soybean checkoff is investing in the compositional quality of soybeans, including meal. A message from the Kansas Soybean Commission, the Soybean Checkoff, progress powered by Kansas farmers.
All over the country, more and more communities are making the change to biodiesel made from U.S. soybean oil. And the decision continues, improving the health and welfare for millions of Americans while adding billions to our national economy.
The producer-funded Kansas Wheat Innovation Center was built to get improved varieties into the hands of farmers faster. Kansas Wheat, farmers advancing their future through wheat genetics research.
About 225 soybean enthusiasts gathered January 10 in Topeka for Kansas Soybean Expo 2018. The Kansas Soybean Association organized the annual event with checkoff funding from the Kansas Soybean Commission to coincide with the Topeka Farm Show at the Kansas Expo Center. The opening session featured updates from two checkoff partner organizations, the USA Poultry and Egg Export Council and the U.S. Soybean Export Council. The keynote speaker, farm boy turned comedian Roger Radley, entertained the audience with his stories about growing up on a Wisconsin farm and raising kids today. The featured speaker at lunch was Donnell Rehagen, CEO of the National Biodiesel Board. The day's awards and recognitions included the introductions of this year's DuPont Young Leaders from Kansas. The Friend of Soy Award went to Harold Kraus, Hayes, a former soybean commissioner and NBB director. Also, the Kansas Soybean Yield and Value Contests winners were announced. Those results are at kansassoybeans.org/contests on the web. The KSA annual meeting saw the approval of 2018 policy resolutions and the Board of Directors elections. Attendees then heard three K-State Extension updates, increasing yields through improved management, the dicamba conundrum, and an integrated approach to managing stem borer. Expo photos and presentations are available at kansassoybeans.org/expo.
Animal agriculture is a significant part of the Kansas economy, so animal health is of critical importance not only to the agriculture industry, but to the whole state. That's why the Kansas Department of Agriculture makes it a priority to lead the nation in foreign animal disease planning, training, and exercising. In December, KDA led a full-scale three-day simulation to exercise the state's Agriculture Emergency Response Plan. More than 200 individuals participated, representing KDA, as well as other state agencies, federal and local government, agriculture industry organizations, K-State, and more. Responding to a foreign animal disease will require cooperation among all of these entities in order to stop the spread of the disease and enable the industry to get back to business as quickly as possible. Our annual exercises have made it clear to us that even with all of these entities involved, a large-scale incident will require more personnel to fill all of the necessary roles to adequately respond. Therefore, last year, the Kansas Department of Agriculture created the Kansas Agriculture Emergency Response Corps, a comprehensive volunteer corps which will be made up of Kansans representing a broad range of skills who will be trained and prepared to respond rapidly and efficiently to an agricultural emergency. It will include citizens with skill sets to help throughout the community, from public educators and communication specialists to appraisers and mapping specialists, just to name a few. We encourage you to consider being part of this volunteer corps so you're ready to be called into action in the event of an agricultural emergency in Kansas. Training for new volunteers is beginning this spring. Go to agriculture.ks.gov/KAERC for more information.
This segment brought to you by Farm Bureau, a grassroots ag organization representing the state's farmers and ranchers since 1919. KFB.org. Oldie Seed Farms, carrying soil-specific seed. Find them on the web at oldieseed.com. That's OldieSeed.com. Grass and Grain, online or in the mail. Keeping Kansas farmers informed for over 60 years. GrassandGrain.com. Kansas Weed Commission, leaders in the adoption of profitable innovations for wheat. Online at kswheat.com.
The producer-funded Kansas Wheat Innovation Center was built to get improved varieties into the hands of farmers faster. Kansas Wheat, farmers advancing their future through wheat genetics research.
What if U.S. soybean meal were more than a commodity? If seed companies and the soybean checkoff built a better variety? That future is here. The time is now. To meet end-user demands, the Soybean Checkoff is investing in the compositional quality of soybeans, including meal. A message from the Kansas Soybean Commission, the Soybean Checkoff, progress powered by Kansas farmers.
You need a partner that you can count on to be there for your business. Providing a depth of understanding to risk management issues so you don't have to. A knowledgeable support team located in your area delivering products and services to make you more successful.
The producer-funded Kansas Wheat Innovation Center was built to get improved varieties into the hands of farmers faster. Kansas Wheat, farmers advancing their future through wheat genetics research.
Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture, represents grassroots agriculture. The state's largest and most powerful farm organization stands up for its members through leadership development, agriculture education, legal defense, environmental advocacy, farm safety, and risk management. Members also enjoy money-saving benefits. To join our organization today or to learn more, go to www.kfb.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter.
What does a brighter, more sustainable future look like in our cities and towns, and how do we get there? When New York needed an alternative fuel source to reduce carbon emissions, the city found what it needed in biodiesel made from U.S. soybean oil.
Imagine having someone help you pick the best corn hybrids for every field on your farm. Your Oldie representative can combine your data with his data to offer a field-by-field prescription. Contact Oldie Seed today at 877-692-4555.
The producer-funded Kansas Wheat Innovation Center was built to get improved varieties into the hands of farmers faster. Kansas Wheat, farmers advancing their future through wheat genetics research.
Exports continued to support U.S. beef demand during November 2017. Value for the month was the second largest of the year at $666.4 million, up 8% over November 2016. Total January through November 2017 beef export value climbed to $6.6 billion, up 15% from the previous year and slightly above the record pace established in 2014. According to the U.S. Meat Export Federation, beef exports accounted for 12.8% of total production for the first 11 months of 2017, down from 13.5% for the same period of 2016. Beef exports were valued at $282.34 per head of U.S. fed cattle slaughtered for January through November last year. Japan continued to be the pace setter for U.S. beef exports in November, with the volume increasing 5% and the value at $159.2 million, up 6% from the previous year. Driven by strong retail demand and reduced tariffs under the U.S.-Korea Free Trade Agreement, USMEF reported beef exports to South Korea set a new one-year value record of $1.1 billion, with 1 month of trade remaining. November exports to China were valued at $5.7 million, which was the largest level since the market opened to U.S. beef in mid-June.
Good morning. I'm Derek Hermish with Paragon Ag. Where will you be when corn moves a nickel? When a commodity trader pulls out their crystal ball these days, it seems like it says 350 corn forever. Rest assured, forever is a long time. In the meantime, though, I have come across more and more creative programs from marketing services or physical grain originators spouting the wisdom of selling options. Now, not to be hypocritical, but I too believe in the wisdom of selling options from time to time if options are a part of your marketing plan. However, doing things like selling two calls to cover the cost of a put, especially if it is tied to an amount of physical crop you will have to come up with, has the makings of what could be an unfortunate ending for some producers if we do get a rally. For some, it may not be the worst thing if they understand it, but for a lot of producers, it will be the wrong strategy. You want to know what you're getting into. It's also possible this conversation might be going over your head, which if that's the case, prepare yourself some so that it doesn't, as somebody will probably approach you at some point wanting to discuss similar strategies if you are a grain or livestock producer. Marketing is more challenging these days, and I embrace the producer who is willing to adapt to survive. Make sure you are making the choice to adapt and not being taken for a ride. I'm Derek Hermish. Have a good day.
captioning brought to you by The Soybean Checkoff. Progress powered by Kansas farmers. KansasSoybeans.org. Farm Bureau, a grassroots ag organization representing the state's farmers and ranchers since 1919. KFB.org. Kansas Weed Commission, leaders in the adoption of profitable innovations for wheat. Online at kswheat.com. Kansas Livestock Association, supporting our members' business interests to meet consumers' demands. KLA.org.
If you missed the show, want to see it again, you can go online at kansasagreport.net. And be social with us on Facebook and Twitter with Kansas Ag Report. I'm Ken Rogers. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
What if U.S. soybean meal were more than a commodity? If seed companies and the Soybean Checkoff built a better variety? That future is here. The time is now. To meet end-user demands, the Soybean Checkoff is investing in the compositional quality of soybeans, including meal. A message from the Kansas Soybean Commission, the Soybean Checkoff. Progress powered by Kansas farmers.
Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture, represents grassroots agriculture. The state's largest and most powerful farm organization stands up for its members through leadership development, agriculture education, legal defense, environmental advocacy, farm safety, and risk management. Members also enjoy money-saving benefits. To join our organization today or to learn more, go to www.kfb.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter.
The producer-funded Kansas Wheat Innovation Center was built to get improved varieties into the hands of farmers faster. Kansas Wheat, farmers advancing their future through wheat genetics research.